Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Tales from the Flip Side on the Diesel Punk Podcast, and I am your host, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny, and we are coming to you live from the mobile studios, and we've got some awesome, awesome new sponsors for this episode. I want to talk about VideoBlox. VideoBlox is a subscription stock media service that allows people to download all stock video media they need for just one low cost, only $149 a year. That's an amazing deal, and their service is targeted specifically to the creative community. Graphic designers, freelancers, marketers, and small businesses. They've got an amazing discount, some amazing deals just for our listeners. Check them out at videoblox.com/flipside. And we'll post that link in the show notes and on our Facebook page. We also want to thank Rather Be Playing. With so many ways for gamers to play and acquire video games these days, is it even possible to even complete all of the games you own? Join the Rather Be Playing podcast and follow Josh, Elliot, and Steve-O as they try to figure out that eternal question. Josh and Elliot have several years of gaming journalism between the two of them, and with Steve-O missing out on so many classic games of yesteryear, the three of them attempt to deconstruct each game into what makes it fun or worth playing, and also manage to torment and humor each other along the way. Check them out at ratherbecast.com or find them on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Well, guys and gals, it's been a while since I've done a solo episode, and I just wanted to come on and, first of all, my heart goes out to my friends and family in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have nieces and nephews who actually work at Mandalay Bay, and thank God they were not present during the mass shooting at the concert this past weekend. They were safe and at home, but, that was a nerve-wracking morning hearing about that, and I do know some people who were there, some country music artists and manager friends. They're all okay, but obviously there are 59 people who are not okay, and our heart just goes out to them and to their families. You know, I wish I had an answer. I wish I had an answer on how this could be prevented and, you know, what to do moving forward in the future. And quite honestly, I don't. And I don't know if this podcast is the right forum to discuss those things anyway, but, you know, we certainly feel horrible about this tragedy. And, you know, it seems cliche to say that, you know, we're praying and thinking about people, but I really am. I'm really praying about this. You know, I am a devout Christian, and I pray regularly, and I don't have answers. Obviously just praying about something is not going to stop it from happening, but I am praying for wisdom for not just myself, but for the country. And the one thing I know for fact that we don't want to do is we don't want to, you know, go down that road to government tyranny. And you interpret that how you want. But, are there any easy answers? No, I don't have them. And we're not going to get into that right now. But, you know, just again, anything you can do to help, donate blood to the Red Cross. You know, if you're in the Las Vegas area and can help some of the people who are wounded, maybe some of the families who have, look, you got to pay for funerals, you got to pay for medical bills. Anything you can do to contribute to those charities out there that are helping those folks, we as diesel punks need to do that. So that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I'm actually here to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is diesel punk fashion. As you guys know, I really prefer the Art Deco styling of the diesel punk era. And, you know, when I am looking at outfits to wear to reflect my diesel punk, I'm looking at clothing that is really sharp, you know, suits, ties, hats. You know, I'm not doing the military styling. I'm doing more of the, you know, 30s and 40s swing gangster zoot suit styling. That's my diesel punk. That's what I really like. But even in my day-to-day work, you know, my office place attire, my corporate 9-to-5, I am expressing that diesel punk in a style that is really a notch above the rest. Even though I work in corporate America, most of the guys, you know, wear a button-down shirt and chinos or dress slacks. But I like to go full out. Tie, you know, suit and tie, coordinating pocket handkerchiefs to my socks, you know, really dressing to the nines. And, you know, my personal punk, how am I a punk, is that I do that because I reject the casual culture of contemporary fashion. That national uniform of the t-shirt, cargo shorts, and flip-flops. I reject American slob culture. I don't like it, and I refuse to participate in it. Now, that does not mean I don't own a t-shirt or shorts. I certainly do. I own, you know, t-shirts that can be anachronistically tied to the diesel era and still create a look. I own shorts. I just don't wear them unless I'm at the beach or riding my bicycle. And they're certainly not cargo shorts. You know, they're plain front, pressed, pleated shorts. So, you know, even in my casual wear, I'm very cognizant and very intentional about what I wear. And the argument has come up recently that, you know, not everybody agrees with that philosophy. And, you know, Eric Fisk with the Fedora Chronicles and Larry Amiet, we've certainly expressed our displeasure in contemporary casual culture. But, you know, some folks have taken issue with us as if we're insulting them because they do like to dress casually and wear t-shirts, flip-flops, and cargo shorts. And one of the counter arguments to dressing well, and I'm not talking about even dressing up or dressing in expensive clothing. I'm just talking about when you dress intentionally, and you wear clothes that fit. One of the arguments that comes back to us is that not everyone has the money to afford, you know, to have clothes tailored, or to buy, you know, clothes that look tailored, or, you know, to buy stuff off the rack, you have to go to Goodwill or the Salvation Army. Now, I know a guy, he's one of the cast members here, Eugene John. He does the Diesel Punk Retrocast, our monthly music specials. He is always dressed to the nines. And his little secret is that the majority of what he wears, he gets from thrift stores and secondhand stores, but he knows how to pick stuff and find stuff and put together outfits that look absolutely dynamite. And he's not spending a lot of money on it. So those of you who use that argument that, you know, fine clothes or formal looking clothes are expensive, go to your local thrift shops, go to your Goodwills, go to your secondhand stores, your surplus stores, and go on a hunt. Find good stuff, learn how to put them together. But then the subject came up to tailoring. Almost everything I wear has to be tailored. Just because, you know, I've got broad shoulders and I've got you know, a long torso, and I've been losing weight over the last couple of years. And so I have to have stuff taken in and tailored all the time. And I never wear anything right off the rack. I have to have it altered. And I understand it is a little bit expensive, you know, a $5 hem here, you know, a $20, you know, alteration there. It can be costly. And sometimes alterations can cost more than the actual article of clothing. And I get that. So it led me to ask the question, where are the makers? And what I mean by that is, in the cosplay community and in the steampunk community, there is a huge do-it-yourself kind of work ethic, this huge culture of DIY. And in those communities, there's also this, you know, let's help each other build things and make things mindset. And I've kind of noticed that that is missing from the diesel punk community. I think part of that is because we still, as a genre, as a movement, have yet to really kind of polarize with each other and, you know, find that personal connection with, you know, real life offline groups. You know, online we're a vibrant community, but in the real world, it's been tough getting us together to celebrate Dieselpunk. I'm not exactly sure why that is, because there are steampunk groups and there are cosplay groups all over the country, but for Dieselpunks, it's been a struggle, and because of that, we don't have that interactive, cooperative maker spirit, and I feel like that if we could really create those real-world groups, then people who need things altered might have a resource outside of, you know, paying for a seamstress or even having to wade through it themselves. I can do some of the alterations myself. I can't do everything myself. And I've noticed that in steampunk circles, most people who are doing costuming, they're doing a lot of the seam work, the sewing, construction themselves. And we just, I don't think we have that in the dieselpunk community. Now, I could be wrong, and you can call me out on that. But I think that really the issue of style in the dieselpunk community, especially people who want to express dieselpunk day to day in real life outside of a, you know, a costume or an outfit per se, really struggle with the what I call the case of the missing maker. We need to do two things in the dieselpunk community. We need to come together on a face-to-face personal level, you know, take our community beyond just being an online community and really start connecting face-to-face, one-on-one. And then the second part of that is to start to rely on each other's skills and areas of expertise. And in the perfect world, we would create that maker community in the dieselpunk community as well. I'd like to know your opinions about that. Am I on track? Am I way off base? I'm going to follow this podcast with putting these thoughts on paper, writing an article for dieselpunks.org and Fedora Chronicles. But let me know what you think. Are we missing the maker element in the dieselpunk community? And does that affect your personal choices for style, apparel, and costuming? I'd love to hear your feedback. And you can send an email to feedback@dieselpunkpodcast and let us know what you think about dieselpunk attire and the case of the missing makers. I also want to invite you guys to connect with me personally at bigdaddycoolshows.com. You can connect with me and, connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of the social media platforms, whichever one you prefer. I would love to connect with you personally. And I want to urge you to check out my book, Tales from the Flip Side, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. It is a diesel punk pulp adventure story available from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Audible, and wherever great books are sold. There is a sequel on its way, by the way. And then check out our Patreon page and consider becoming a patron of this program and the other Big Daddy Cool projects that we have going on, our live shows, convention appearances, video podcasts, etc. That's patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. Consider a dollar, $2, maybe $5 a month and become a sponsor of all of the great programming that we produce for you and become part of the diesel punk army, if you will. All right, guys and gals, well, that is it for me for this week. I want to remind you one more time, check out our sponsors, Video Blocks. I use them. You should, too. Check them out at videoblocks.com/flipside. And, of course, for all of you video gamers out there, check out Rather Be Playing. You can find them at ratherbecast.com or on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And when you find them, tell them that Johnny and the Diesel Punk Podcast and Tales from the Flip Side sent you, and that would be really, really awesome. Well, once again, we have come to the end of another solo episode, Tales from the Flip Side, syndicated on the Diesel Punk Podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and as always, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.